The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and we've got a very special program lined up for you today. I've gone back and taken some of my old programs that I made not very long ago, just in the last 6 months or so, but we've had the biggest response to some of these programs that we've ever had. I mean, people are just really getting their lives transformed. And so we decided, rather than just air these programs one time, and I know that there's many of you that don't watch every day, or many of you may be brand new to the program, we hated to just let these great programs go. So we're doing a best of series, and we're going to go back and resurrect some of these old programs, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you. So open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Again today, I'm continuing a series that I've been on for 5 weeks now, talking about a better way to pray. And this week, I've been trying to get across the point that prayer is a process. From the time that you pray and God moves, there are things happening in an unseen realm, a spiritual realm. And there's time involved. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. It could be a split second. It could be a minute or two, or it could be days or weeks. But God moves before you see a physical manifestation. I don't think that most people believe that. Most people have this this attitude that there is no such thing as time or space, distance with God, that if God wills something, it just, boom, instantly comes to pass. And yet, that's not what the Scripture teaches. I know that that's what theology teaches. I know that I would have a lot of theological professors upset at me, but you know what? I've never been a theologian. I'm a student of the Bible, and if the Bible tells me something, I just tend to believe the Bible more than I believe any theological position. And I've been taking Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10 and contrasting these two prayers that Daniel prayed, and in one instance, Daniel got a 3-minute manifestation of what he was praying for. In the next instance, it was 3 weeks. And on our program yesterday, I asked people, I said, why did God answer Daniel's prayer in 3 minutes in the 9th chapter and 3 weeks in the 10th chapter? And of course, the answer to that is he didn't answer one prayer in 3 minutes and the other prayer in 3 weeks. He answered both prayers instantly. Here it is, Daniel chapter 9. The messenger, the angel Gabriel, said, "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee." God gave a command to Gabriel to answer Daniel's prayer instantly at the beginning of his prayer, but it took about 3 minutes for Gabriel to get there. We don't know if he was packing, brushing his teeth, if he, you know, had to get dressed. I don't know what's going on, but it took 3 minutes from the time God gave the command until Gabriel showed up. In the 10th chapter, the messenger came and spoke unto Daniel, and he said in verse 12, he says, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now, it took 3 weeks for what God had spoken to come to pass, but God answered both prayers instantly at the beginning of the supplication. But see, God gave the answer in the spiritual realm. And in one case, it took 3 minutes for the messenger to get through. In the next case, it took 3 weeks for the messenger to get through. And the question begs to be asked right here, says, why did it take 3 minutes in one case and 3 weeks in the next one? Well, the messenger in Daniel chapter 10 goes on to say in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." This is talking about a demonic power. There was a demonic principality or power that was fighting against this prayer. And Michael, who is the archangel, came and actually had to help this messenger break through and get this message to Daniel. Now, some people say, well, why did Satan hinder the prayer in the 10th chapter and not hinder Daniel's prayer in the 9th chapter. Here are some more misconceptions that we have about the devil. And one of those things is some people think that the devil never makes a mistake. They think he never misses an opportunity. You know, there's a lot of people that they aren't absolutely sure that God is going to answer their prayer. They think they could do every single thing right and you still never know what God's going to do. They don't believe that God is consistent and that God always does good. They believe that you could do things right and still God, just for whatever reason, not move. But those same people are absolutely convinced that if they make one slight mistake, if they do the slightest thing wrong, Satan is going to eat their lunch and pop the bag. They have 100% faith in Satan that he never misses anything, but they aren't sure about God. You never know what God's going to do. I know that some people wouldn't like to be characterized that way, but it's absolutely true. There are some people that actually have more faith in the consistency and the faithfulness of the devil than they do in God. But that's totally opposite. God is the one who's faithful. God is the one who will never, ever, ever fail to answer a prayer. And Satan just blows it sometimes. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is to say, why did Satan hinder Daniel's prayer in chapter 10 and didn't hinder it in chapter 9? I don't know. The scripture doesn't explain, but it is possible that, you know what? The devil just missed it. He just blew it. It's possible that he didn't see Daniel as a threat. It's possible that, you know what, he just was shorthanded or something and he was out fighting someplace else and doing something else. But after the miraculous answer to prayer that Daniel got in chapter 9, and it was actually a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, a very important piece of information that had to be prophesied before Jesus could come. Once the devil saw the damage that that Daniel did to Satan's kingdom through this prophecy, he assigned a demonic power, principality, to Daniel to hinder any more prayers getting through. And so there was a resistance in the 10th chapter that we didn't see in the 9th chapter. Well, I think that's important. Some people just give the devil too much credit. And you know what? Sometimes I believe that prayers get through because the devil just missed it. I believe that sometimes you see things happen very easily, not because God really was for you this time, and then the next time when it seems like it's delayed, this is some indication that God isn't pleased with you. Again, people who think that way just don't acknowledge that prayer is a process. They don't acknowledge that there's things going on in a spiritual unseen realm. They don't acknowledge that the devil can hinder prayer. They are incorrectly assuming, that if God wills something, boom, it just automatically comes to pass. That is not accurate. There is a process from when God commands until when you see the manifestation. And if you don't understand that, and if you don't know that Satan can get in there and gum up this process and slow it down and hinder things, then when you don't see a physical manifestation of what you prayed for, you are going to just fall into doubt. And your doubt is going to stop the power of God from working. Let me ask you this. What would have happened if Daniel would have quit on the 20th day? If he didn't last until the 21st day, the full 3 weeks. What would have happened if in the 20th day he would have said, you know what? Previously I prayed a prayer and while I was still praying, the angel showed up and gave me my answer to prayer. Here I've been at it for 20 days. I quit. I haven't seen anything, and so I'm assuming that God has done nothing. What would have happened if Daniel would have done that? You know, we don't know for sure, but I do know this in Scripture that I've already used this verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." God has to flow through people. God has to answer and release His power through us, that power of faith that works in us. And so based on that, I believe that if Daniel would have quit believing and quit releasing his faith and standing there and trusting God that God was faithful in answering his prayer, if he would have given up on the 20th day, then I believe that even though God had already given the command 20 days before and that they were nearing the end of this battle between Michael and Gabriel and Satan, the prince of Persia, and all of these things had been going on in the spiritual realm, if Daniel would have quit on the 20th day, I believe that whatever was in the pipeline, whatever was coming from God, would have been stopped right then. And as far as we could perceive from just the human standpoint, it would have looked like God never answered Daniel's prayer. When the truth was, God did answer it. It just didn't get to him. There was a demonic hindrance. And if he would have quit before that 21st day, it would have looked like God didn't do anything. When the truth was, God had already done his part. It was just Satan that hindered it. And let me make this comparison to you and me, that I know that there's some of you who have prayed for something, and you have stood, and you have believed God, and you've tried to receive, and you may have lasted for a period of time. Maybe you lasted for 20 days, but after a while, you just got discouraged because you hadn't seen anything come to pass, and so you quit. You may not have gotten bitter, you may not have totally rejected God, but you got out of faith, and you just said, well, you know what? If God was going to answer my prayer, I would have seen something by now. I would have had some physical manifestation, some indication. And you got into unbelief and you just quit believing. And I'm saying to you that in the same way as we can see through the scriptural account that there was a lot going on in the heavenlies and Daniel was just reaching that verge of breakthrough, I'm saying to you that there are some of you that quit right on the eve of the very deliverance that you'd been praying for. And from your perspective, you may think, well, God didn't answer that prayer. I'm telling you that God did answer your prayer. God answers every prayer. If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it's opened unto you. God answers every prayer. God released His power. Why you didn't see it, I can't tell you specifically, but I can tell you that it was on our part that we fail. There was either a demonic hindrance that we didn't deal with, or there was just a timing issue, or there could be a multiple things. I'm going to go through and share some of this with you. But it was on our part. God gave. And if you get into unbelief and quit believing, then you stop the process. Prayer is a process. There are things that have to happen. And you have to cooperate with God to bring this process to its completion. Boy, that is powerful. That's really awesome. You know, I'm going to take a break here because I want my announcer to share with you about how you can get a copy of this teaching. This entire series that I've done on A Better Way to Pray, I believe could just transform the body of Christ in the way that they pray. And this individual teaching that we're offering today is entitled, Prayer is a Process. Please listen. Please take advantage of this material, and I'll be right back after this break to continue.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount. If you prefer, this teaching is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The 5th audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this 5th teaching free of charge. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So I was sharing out of Daniel chapter 10 that God gave the answer to Daniel's prayer instantly, but there was a demonic power fighting against the messenger that delayed what God had commanded for 21 days. Now, here's another thought. You know, I've already brought up this one point that some people give the devil too much credit. They just think that he never misses a trick. But, you know, it's possible that in the 9th chapter when Daniel prayed his prayer that Satan just missed this and let it squeak through and there wasn't any opposition. And in the 10th chapter, he mounted opposition against it because he didn't want that kind of results again. So that's one possibility. But here's another possibility. Did you know it's possible that there was just a shortage of demons? There was a shortage of demonic powers to fight against Daniel and hinder him. And here again is another misconception that people have. People will often say things that give the impression that they believe that they have their own personal devil. People will say, well, the devil told me this. They will even make reference to Satan. You know, I believe that most of us have never personally encountered Satan. Now, I do believe in demons, and I do believe that demons plant thoughts in our minds, attack our bodies, attack our finances, and I do believe that there's demonic activity. But as far as we know from Scripture, Demons don't procreate. Demons don't have baby demons. There aren't new demons being born. I don't totally understand all of this, but there's nothing in Scripture that indicates that there is an influx or an increase in demons. So, here's the thought. If there is a static number of demons, and it's not increasing or decreasing, then there was either a huge ratio of demons per person back in Adam and Eve's day when there was only two people on the earth, or there is a shortage of demons today. Either there was, you know, today we have over 6 billion people on the planet. If there was a demon for every person, there had to be 3 billion demons to Adam and Eve individually, or whatever the number of demons were back then, there is a shortage of demons to go around today. The reason I'm making this point is just to say this. Some people, again, think Satan never misses a trick. They don't take into account that there's any limitations on the devil or anything like this. I believe that Satan is shorthanded. I do not believe that there is a personal demon to go along with every single person. Now, I would go as far as to say that I believe that every person has encountered demonic things, but I don't believe that there is a demon for every single person on this earth. With most of us, the devil has gained access to us through our upbringing, through the media, through movies, through values, even many times in church. Satan will teach wrong concepts, and he teaches us the wrong thing, and then the devil can go on vacation because we are doing a bang-up job of destroying our own life with the wrong doctrines that we've got. So, my point is that we're asking, why did Satan fight this prayer in the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, but he didn't fight Daniel's prayer that is recorded in Daniel chapter 9. It's possible that he's just short-handed. It's possible that he was over here licking his wounds in one place and he just missed it. It's possible, you know, there's all kinds of things possible, but I think that we give the devil way, way, way too much credit thinking that he has omnipotence and omnipresence and he's able to do anything and everything. There are limitations on the devil. So, I don't know exactly why it was that this prayer was hindered in the 10th chapter, but the principle is here that it wasn't God who failed to answer his prayer. It was Satan who hindered it. Sometimes it's not anything that you're doing. And I think this is a major point that really needs to be made. Because, you know, I'm one for putting responsibility on people. I believe that we live in a culture today where nobody's willing to accept responsibility for anything. Instead of saying that it's my fault that something has happened, we say, I came from a dysfunctional family. I've been persecuted. I didn't get a birthday cake when I was 4 years old, and that justifies me being a triple rapist and a murderer. And that's the kind of stuff that's going around. People aren't accepting responsibility. And so I'm constantly trying to say it's your fault. You accept responsibility. You take blame and take responsibility and change things. But, you know, sometimes there's a balance to that, too. There are some times that people just automatically assume that every time anything goes wrong, it's always my fault. In this instance, I want you to know that Daniel wasn't the variable. Daniel was trusting and believing God in the 9th chapter just as well as the 10th chapter. He was the same. God was the same. God answered both prayers instantly. So it wasn't God that was the variable, and it wasn't Daniel that was the variable. In this case, it was the devil that was the variable. Sometimes the devil fights, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes Satan is out to lunch, sometimes Satan is over there sucking his thumb and licking his wounds. I love to say things like that about the devil. He is not consistent. Satan just blows it. And sometimes we see things happen and it seems effortless. And it's just because the devil was out to lunch and missed an opportunity. But then there's other times that the devil fights us. And you need to understand that this is going on. Sometimes it has zero, zippo, zilch, nada to do with you. Sometimes you aren't the problem. It is never God that's the problem. Sometimes Satan fights us. Sometimes he doesn't. And you know what that should do? That ought to encourage some of you that you have searched yourself. You're believing God for something. You've searched yourself. You believe. You don't think that you're the problem. You've done everything that you know to do. You're doing all that you know to do, but you just kind of default, well, I must be doing something wrong, and you lose your encouragement. You know what? If you don't know of something specific that you're doing wrong, then I encourage you to not to come under condemnation and not to become so self-seeking and self-analytical that you sit there and get out of faith and into condemning yourself. Sometimes it's not anything that you're doing. It's never God who's the problem. Sometimes Satan just fights you, and sometimes there's more opposition than at other times. Boy, that is simple, but that's profound. And you know what? That really blesses me. It really does. And I don't have to understand everything that's going on. I remember when we moved into this building, of course, those of you who've been watching our program for a while know that our ministry has just exploded. And when we started on television, I only had a 14,000 square foot building. We now occupy a 110,000 square foot building. But when I bought it, it was empty on the inside. It was a warehouse. And I had to spend $3.2 million refurbishing it. And I believed God to do it debt-free, and praise God we did it. It took about 14 months, which I consider to be a major miracle, and I'm really blessed. But I was trying to move into this building by August of 2004 so that we could accommodate our Charis Bible College students and not use the old facility because we had outgrown it. And so that was my target date, was August of 2004. We actually didn't move in until November of 2004. And when that happened, I had some of our Bible college students come to me and say, "Are you disappointed? Are you depressed or discouraged because you didn't meet your goal, because you failed in this thing?" And you know what? My answer just surprised them, but I said, "No, I'm not discouraged." I said, "It's still a miracle." Instead of it taking like 11 months, it took 14 months, but it's still an absolute miracle. And they said, "But you missed it. Your goal was to move in here by August." And I just told them, I said, "You know what? I've very seldom ever done anything perfectly. If it was me that missed it, well, I still, you know, if I shot at the stars and missed, I only hit the moon. That's still more than what most people do. But also, I understand that sometimes Satan just fights you and that he has the ability to delay. He can't ever just stop something, but he can annoy you. He can be a problem. And so anyway, my point from saying all of this stuff is that, see, I don't just look at things as if it was God's will. And if I was in tune with God, then just instantly everything would work. I'm aware that I am fighting an enemy. I'm aware that I'm swimming upstream. I'm going against the current. And you know what? I am going to win, and I am going to reach my goals, and I will do what God calls me to do. And if it happened effortlessly, that'd be just awesome. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't shock me. I would enjoy it. But if I meet opposition, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get discouraged because the current has increased, and why is it taking longer than I thought? I just battle through knowing that I am destined to win. I am ordained by God to be a winner. And I will win. And, you know, I'll fight as much as necessary. I'm not just going to fight to a certain level and then say, if it's above this, well, then I just don't understand it. I get discouraged. I quit. No, there is no quitting. I burn my bridges. There is no plan B. There is no plan C. I am only committed to doing what God has told me to do. And I'm aware that sometimes I miss it. If I do, then I get back on track. But I'm aware that sometimes, just like Daniel here, Daniel was not the problem. He wasn't the variable. He prayed just as fervently in the 10th chapter as he did in the 9th chapter. Daniel wasn't the problem. Sometimes there is just a demonic opposition against us, and I don't totally understand it, but I can win. I will fight through it. And this is what I'm trying to get across to you, is to understand that every time you pray, God instantly releases His power. If you've prayed for anything based on God's Word, God gave, God released. But there's a process from the time that God commands to when you see it and say, "There it is." And there's things that can get gummed up and hindered in that process. Satan can fight against you in the spiritual realm and stop the flow of what God is doing. And so on our programs next week, I'm going to continue to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about how it is that you deal with those hindrances of the devil and how you get over those things. But just understanding this process to prayer, I believe, is a super important part of receiving your answers from God. Now, we are going to continue this on our program next week, but I'm going to have my announcer share with you about how you can get these materials. Please listen. Please call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The fifth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request teaching TY25 titled, Prayer is a Process When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
The things that I was talking about on my program today, of course, are in this book that we're offering and this teaching on A Better Way to Pray. And so we're still offering those materials. But you know, I've also got some teaching on this in a recent book that we put out entitled, You've Already Got It. And it would really be a compliment. And the whole basis of that series on You've Already Got It is this same concept that there is a spiritual world and that God moves in the spiritual realm. And so this book entitled, You've Already Got It, would be a great compliment to what we've been talking about. And today only on our program, I'm offering this as a bonus offer for a donation of any amount. So please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Our web address is www.awmi.net. Our mailing address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Or you can call our helpline at 719-635-1111. Remember, you can use your credit card with the helpline or the website. The ministry of Andrew Womack is supported entirely by friends and partners. Whether or not you order today's teaching materials, we want you to know your donations are a vital part of this ministry. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Decatur, Texas on November 12th and in Fort Worth, Texas, November 13th through the 15th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts. The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.